with us and praise the Lord, for he is good and he never lets us down. My name is Pastor Josh Pan. Thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video so people can say yes to Jesus forever. And so, do me a favor. Let me know you are here. Throw that like button, thumbs up, so that we can glorify God together and get more people into the channel. And we see that this community is actually growing and growing and growing, and that's all by the grace of God. And so we give him all praise, all honor, and everything that we do, we recognize that it is by God's grace and his mercy that we're able to live our life upon his firm foundation. Amen, amen. Wow, Armando, Juan, Michelle, you all said the same thing at the same time. That's incredible. Haha, God is good. Cherry Pop, hello, hello. And Danielle, guys, you are so wonderful. And I'm so glad to be able to be with you today. And today we're going to be touching on this devotion, continuing the story of Elijah. And Elijah, he just went through and did a miracle, showed God signs, defeated the false prophets, and he ran away after Queen Jezebel was so angry and put a bounty on his head. But lo and behold, during his depression, despair, and tough times, God still provided for him. God still came through for him. God still gave him food and water and provision for everything he needed. And not only that, but he gave him renewed mission in order to anoint the king of Syria and the king of Israel, and then also Elisha, the next person whose successor after Elijah. Elisha, he was able to follow after Elijah, so that Elijah was not the last prophet, and Elijah had someone to mentor and teach and to take off after his own office. And then what happened? Well, there was also 7,000 people who never bowed down to any other gods, who never worshipped anyone else. So we praise the Lord, for he is good. I'm doing great and amazing, feeling amazing. So I pray that you guys, and I know that you guys, will experience God and will be blessed. So you want to stick to the very end, and if you have to go, you got to go. But hey, you can always watch the replay on YouTube. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm going to read the verse, the passage. And then there's going to be reflection and deeper study. So you will be blessed. So this is condemnation and repentance. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 17, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. Now he is in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession over it. And say to him, this is what the Lord says to you. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says, in the place where dogs lick up the Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood, yes, yours. And Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. I have found you. And he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, and slave or free. And I will make your house like of Jeroboam's son of Nebat, and the Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger, and you have caused Israel to sin. And then also concerning Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, the Lord says, dog will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel, and dogs will eat those belonging to Ahab to die in the city, and the birds in the air will feed on those who die in the country. And there was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do the evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged by Jezebel, his wife, and he behaved like the vilest manner by going after idols, like Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. And when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put a sackcloth, and fasted. He laid in sackcloth and went around meekly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah of Tishbite, said, have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his sons. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I will do that for you guys, because God has the power to do what he needs to do. Dear Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're able to eradicate all distractions and then lead us in your direction. We thank you for shalom. We thank you for peace. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. So, Father God, there is no one like you. And we thank you that you are merciful God, just like you showed mercy to King Ahab. So, Lord, I pray that you teach us in everything that we can learn from this passage, and that you bless us, and that your word would flow out like sweet honey, and also be rich like gold. Lord, there is no one like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, quick reflection on this, guys. We can see how there was justice enacted, and Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, he confronts the evil king, Ahab, for allowing the murder of Naboth in order to steal his vineyard. Just like King David, he killed Bathsheba's husband. Is it Nahor or something? Okay, it's someone. And to steal the wife, nah, it's no good. And Ahab calls Elijah his enemy. But Elijah proclaims Ahab the self-made enemy of God by his heinous sins, his hideous sins. And Ahab's wife Jezebel is one who committed the crimes, but God holds Ahab responsible and punishes both of them. And this event presents the inescapable justice that God continues today. We may believe that our deeds only concern ourselves, but God's righteousness reigns forever, and his justice will prevail. And whenever we sin against others, let us confess that we have sinned. We are not perfect against God. And because he takes our sins seriously and personally and expects us to do the same. You see, sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The punishment of sin is death. And that's not just talking about a physical death, but an eternal death. That second death is when you get judged and you have eternal separation from God. And that's not what you want to end up in, eternal torment, eternal pain. You want to be in the presence of God in the very end. And you want to walk in his ways and allow him to build you up and guide you and give you a life of meaning. Amen? Because God, he's working. Uriah is the one. Amen. Yeah. Crystal Roach, thanks for being here. Can you read the Bible verse for me? Yeah, I just read from 1 Kings chapter 21. Amen. And so, there's justice that's going to happen. And we cannot be ignorant of this, because we know that this judgment is for your eternity. Either you have life in Christ, eternal life, or eternal damnation, eternal pain. So, eternal separation is not something that we want. So that's why we are Team Jesus, and we say Jesus forever, because in this short time period of your life, it's going to determine where you end up for eternity. It's going to show where you end up, whether it's in God's presence when you say yes to Jesus, or if you say no to him, then it's going to be separated from him. The second reflection is that you can hear the hearing that leads to repentance. And after being condemned by God through the prophet Elijah, King Ahab actually did the right thing. He understands the gravity of his sin, and he actually repents. And God, in response to promise, he responded to Ahab by promising him not to bring this prophesied judgment and punishment upon Ahab directly, but upon his son, who also does not follow in the ways of God and receives punishment for his own sin. It is unclear whether Ahab feels remorse for his sins or whether he just feels the fear of the punishment, and perhaps he feels both. And regardless of his motives, Ahab responds appropriately with humility by humbling himself and then repenting. And then the king, his response reminds you the importance of genuinely repenting before God, to be holy, to reject sin, to run away from sin, to hate sin. You love what God loves. You hate what God hates. And you would ingrain that in your heart. And you know in your heart what is right and wrong. And you pray to God if you don't know. Let him guide you, lead you, give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment in your life in order to make bright choices, in order to make choices that is rooted in His word, that is leading you towards the right direction. That is His will and not your own will. That is His plans and not your own plans. For many are the plans of a man's heart, but God's plan will prevail. His ways, His thoughts is higher than our ways and thoughts. That's why we must humble ourselves before Him, our Almighty God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and He knows all things. So, don't you want to tap into His glory, His wisdom, and His power? He has it available to you as followers, as Christians, as believers of Christ. And that's why it's so important to walk in His ways and to build your life upon His firm foundation. Amen. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we hear, we read to lead to repentance. Hear from the Lord. He's talking to you. He's calling you to repent, just like King Ahab did. So going back to this passage from 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 17 to 29, I'm shocked. There's only one chapter left after this, chapter 22. And so we're almost done with 1 Kings. We went through the whole thing together. But glory to God that He's been building us up through His word. And so Elijah, he pronounced God's condemnation upon Ahab and Jezebel. The hand of God's judgment was going to fall upon them. And the scripture graphically described the terrifying fate that was to fall upon both Ahab and Jezebel in this passage. And so we can learn, really, how God issued a summons to Elijah, the prophet, that he was to go and confront Ahab, the evil king, to expose his sin. You see, darkness will be exposed by light. Sin will be exposed by the truth. And note where Ahab was in Naboth's vineyard, where the king had gone to take possession of it after killing Naboth for it. It was by his greed, by his jealousy, by his envy in which he took this and stole it away from the man. Not only just stealing it from him, but also killing him for it. So Elijah, he was to charge Ahab with two crimes. Number one was murder. Number two was theft of property. And after laying out the charge, the prophet was to pronounce the coming justice that God has upon the king. Dogs were to lick up the blood of Ahab, just as they had for Naboth's blood. And no matter where Ahab was, he was not able to hide nor escape from the coming judgment. And as Elijah, he was approaching Ahab for the encounter, Ahab called out, addressing the prophet as "my enemy who had found him." In a very straightforward response, Elijah declared, yes, he had found Ahab because the king sold himself out to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he had committed the most horrible evil, that of murder and of stealing an innocent person's property. And without hesitating, Elijah pronounced the divine sentence upon God, upon Ahab, that God had for him. And disaster, it was coming upon Ahab personally, upon his descendants and his dynasty. It was going to be cut off and ended, and tragedy would both consume him and his descendants, and every last male in Israel who was the descendant of Ahab would be cut off, whether free, whether slave. His house and dynasty was to suffer just like Jeroboam's and Baasha's had, because he had provoked God's anger by wickedness and by causing Israelites to sin by being a stumbling block to other people. And of the Israelites, Ahab was to suffer the terrifying justice of God. And after pronouncing judgment upon Ahab, and without even giving the king to respond, Elijah pronounced judgment upon Queen Jezebel. And the queen was to be eaten by the dogs besides the wall of Jezreel. And Jezebel would not escape the hands of justice that God had, for she stood guilty of a terrible evil sin in purging the land of the Lord's righteous prophets and the worship of His name. Wow. You guys are saying amen. Thank you. Amen. Confirming that God is real and God is true to His word. and all who belonged to Ahab would suffer a disgraceful death, and the corpse of all who lived in the city would be eaten by dogs, and those who lived in the country would have their corpse consumed by the birds of the air. Well, Elijah, he pronounced three reasons for God's judgment upon the kings. The evil of Ahab surpassed all men that came before him. He was the very epitome of evil. And so, number one, he sold himself out to do evil. And he has numbed himself and allowed his wife, Jezebel, to influence and urge him on with his wicked ways. And number two, he lived a life of an adulterer, worshiping false idols, and just like Amorites, whom the Lord had driven out of the promised land. And number three, he had become a stumbling block to the Israelites, causing them to sin and engage in idolatry and false worship. He caused other people to falter, and he had failed to set an example of a righteous king before the people and failed to institute social religious reforms that would have turned people back to God. He could have done so. He could have done so. But he did not. And stricken by utter terror, Ahab shone an outward remorse by tearing his clothes, putting on a sackcloth. This, in the past, that was what they did when they wanted to repent to God. And he fasted. But note this fact. He was reacting to the divine decree, not genuinely repenting of his wickedness, nor turning from his idolatry. Neither he was willing to return the stolen property to the family of Naboth. And nevertheless, the Lord demonstrated the compassion and mercy upon summoning Elijah and informing him that he would delay his sentence upon Ahab, and he would not execute this judgment upon the house of Ahab until his son took the throne. And God's compassion and mercy are being shown because Ahab humbled himself. You humble yourself, then God will show you a degree of mercy. That mercy is his love. That mercy is his grace. That mercy is something that we do not deserve, but yet he still gives to each and every one of us when we accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior and walk in his ways. Amen. And note how this strong demonstration of God's eternal mercy and compassion, ever longing for people to repent and to return to him, even those who were terrible sinners living in corruption and immoral lives. So what can we learn from this, guys? What can we learn from this passage, from this story of Elijah confronting King Ahab for his sins and telling him of the divine condemnation that was going to happen upon his family for he had sinned and done terrible things? Well, the major lesson for you, you want to listen. It is for you that the surety of God's judgment is coming, whether you're going to be called righteous or you're going to be called evil, whether you're going to be called good and faithful servant or wicked and evil servant. This judgment is inevitable. So if you live lives of sin, wickedness, evil, then you will bear the hand of God's justice. Just like as God predicted the judgment would fall upon Ahab and Jezebel. And so it fell. Because of their brutality, horrible evil, they both bore the terrifying justice of God. Even today, while materialistic things are being written, well, Ahab and Jezebel, they killed, they murdered, they stole, they were jealous, and they did evil in the presence of the Almighty God, and suffering a place or prison that the Lord Jesus calls hell. And this hell is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from his holy presence is a suffering in a place of prison where they can never get out. Eternal prison, eternal ruin and destruction. And that's not somewhere you want to be, because we know that there's that's horrible. That's for the devil. But God loves the world that he sent his one and only begotten son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's why we must, absolutely must, walk in his ways. Even when people are making fun of you, even when people are mocking God, even when people are persecuting you, you must stay rooted and grounded upon his firm foundation so that you will not be shaken by the lies of the devil, the lies of the world, and that you would live upon the absolute truth, which is which Jesus gives to you. Amen. Amen. And so they will suffer for all eternity. And for once we were born in this world, we never cease to exist. First, we exist upon this earth. Then, after death, we continue to exist, either with God in heaven or without God in hell. And in this life, there is only one place where you can live on this earth. But that next life, there are two places where all mankind will spend eternity, either in heaven with God or in prison separated from God. And that's why it's so important to repent, to be sorry for your sin, and to go to him and acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and let him forgive you and cover you by his blood, cover you with his love. Amen. Amen. And so, if you're being bullied, if you're being put down, you need to lift these burdens, these weariness, these pain up to God and trust in him to allow him to transform you, allow him to build you up and to prepare you. You see, you're asking, why does God allow these problems to happen to me? Why does God allow me to suffer? And that's a very good question. You see, God did not stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from going into the burning furnace, the burning fire. No. But God was with them in the fire so that they did not burn up, so that they did not die. The soldiers that put them in there, they burned up, they died. But they were protected by the Spirit of the Lord. And when you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, you will trust that everything that you're going through is temporary and that he wants to bring you into a better place and that you are not alone in experiencing these darkness, these bullying, these pain. That you have this story where God comes and breaks you free and breaks you out of it so that you can help others who are going through the same. And that becomes your story. That becomes your testimony of our one true God, our living God who never lets us down. Amen? That's why you share and you give your life to God and trust in him. So where you spend your eternity is determined by how you live your life upon this earth. If you live a wicked, disobedient life, then you will follow in the footsteps of King Ahab and Jezebel and will join them in eternal separation from God. But if you follow after Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the living righteousness, and the Holy One, then you will live in heaven and with God for eternity. And that's why, that's the good news. You will be with Elijah, with Jesus, with all the other prophets of God, and all those who believed him and trusted in God from the beginning of human history. Amen? You're going to be able to talk to them, walk with them. And faith is not easy because faith means you're believing in the things that are unseen. And all the things that you see around you, that's temporary. But the unseen is eternal. And so maybe you cannot see God, but you can feel him. You can encounter him. Maybe you cannot feel him working, but he is working. Faith can be grown. It can be built up. Faith must triumph and does triumph over fear. In this world, a lot of people are living from fear to fear. They're living in fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being judged. But then by faith, we live our life in Christ, knowing that our identity is in him. Our identity, our victory is in Jesus. Amen? So, there was that fourth man in the fire. when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in. He was with them as they went in. He didn't stop them from going in. He was with David as he fought Goliath. He didn't stop David from fighting Goliath. He was with Moses when he was exiled or he ran away from Egypt. He didn't stop him from leaving Egypt. He was with the disciples. He was with me in my darkest moments. And he's with you in your darkest moments as well. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God, for he is good. And we know that he never lets us down. Amen? So we will join Elijah and all the prophets of the Lord from the beginning of human history. And that's why our faith in God is the one that empowers us. Faith that he is living in you. And today I learned about the confession of faith. What is your confession of faith? That was what I was asked. And I was saying, I never did this before. But my confession of faith is that we live by victory, from victory to victory, breakthrough to breakthrough, glory to glory. We live from life to life, faith to faith, and strength to faith, strength to strength. Amen? And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I would love to hear your confession of faith. And some people are like, I am blessed. The waters are still. The greens are plentiful and green. The grass are green. We are blessed. And we know that God has good things prepared for me. My confession of faith is that he never let me down. That he is in charge. That he is in control. That he has power and control over all things. And I will trust in him. I'll build my life upon his firm foundation. And I will live according to his good works. You see, we are called to love what God loves. To hate what God hates. We are called to live according to his will and not our own will. We're called to let him increase in our life. Let his glory shine. Let his power shine. Let his wisdom shine through our life. Because we too small, too limited. But God is too big, too good, too powerful. So we will let our God shine through us. And he will give you the best life. And he will bring you out of the darkness. Amen. Amen. So, if you're sick and tired, and sick of being sick and tired of this world, of the situation, you know, God can bring you out of it. What you can control is how you react. And how you react, God is watching. If you humble yourself, if you pray to God, if you seek him, if you ask him, you will receive, you will find him. If you open the door to him, then he will come into your heart and give you so much more than you can ever ask. Amen? So ask for Jesus to come into your heart, to save you, and he will do it. He will do it. Amen? Some things we're going to go into the Word of God to support what we're saying. Because the Word of God is alive and powerful. What I say from my own heart and my own self, it's limited, it's small. But the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so then we can read it and it can resonate in our heart. So you don't want to miss this because we know God's Word can just speak to you just like that. Even more powerful than just me ranting and praying, you know? And that's why I try to recite the Word of God as much as possible so that you can hear it and you can be impacted by God's Word, not my own words. God's Word. Amen? Amen. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, and the one who's coming after me, which John the Baptist saying this, the one who comes after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the gift of the Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? the Spirit of the Lord transforms your heart, your mind, your soul, and allows you to be connected to God. The Holy Spirit is God, and so when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the presence of God is in you, so heaven is in you, and you will shine and reflect His mighty power, His good works. And when you're transformed, you also see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, humility, faithfulness, and self-control. So this man, Jesus, he is coming. He is coming. And his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Holy Spirit is strong, mighty, and powerful, and is given to you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit that healed the lame, healed the blind, healed the deaf, drove the demons out of the demon-possessed, that same Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to overcome temptation, that the devil was trying to come onto him, that same Spirit is for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for He is good. He is good. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 to 29. But I say to you that everyone who looks after the woman with lust and adultery in his heart, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it out from you. But if it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Wow. This is talking about where Jesus is giving figurative of speech, not literally to tear it out. But you see, it is true, actually, for you to lose one part of your body than to be thrown into the lake of fire. It is true because all this body is temporary, but the lake of fire, that's eternal. Eternal. And we don't want you to be there. So, you have to think about it. What must you delete in your life? What applications are causing you to sin? What applications are causing you to just be a consumer and not a producer? What applications are keeping you and wasting your time and your energy, your valuable time and energy and money? What things are holding you down? What must you cut out in order to walk a life that is righteous, that is holy, that is according to God's will? You must, absolutely must, come to realization and identify those things. Be humble. Let God prune you. That pruning may not feel good, like that cutting off. You may experience withdrawal, but it's absolutely crucial for you to grow and grow optimally. That pruning of a plant allows you to increase, allows you to bear fruit in the fruit of the Spirit, allows you to live a life of righteousness, to be made clean, made whole in Him. Amen? Amen. That's why it's so powerful, so important that we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior and not see ourselves as so high and mighty, but instead see our Lord, our God, as the high and mighty one. Amen? And we put our trust in Him. Whew! Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 to 42. And the Son of Man sends forth His angels, and they shall gather out the kingdom, all the things that offend, all the things that are stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness, and will be thrown into the furnace of fire. And in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talking about hell. This is talking about a destination where you do not want to end up. Where we here, we're planting the seeds of the gospel, but we're saving more souls from hell, from the gnashing of teeth, from wailing, from the weeping. We're here to save more souls so people can say yes to Jesus forever and be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, enter into a relationship with God. Amen? Sometimes you gotta stop listening to that secular music. You gotta stop watching the wrong things. You gotta cut out the games, the substances, the things that are holding you down. And in the name of Jesus, may he break these chains off of you. In the name of Jesus, may he give you freedom from these sins. In the name of Jesus, may you experience more and more of his glory and get rid of all those things that are holding you down. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! God is so good. And God is true. He is alive and he's well. And there's no doubt that he wants you to repent. He wants you to build your life upon his firm foundation. There's no doubt that he talked so much about this eternal life and eternal death. Eternal presence of God or eternal separation from God. You have a choice and you can accept the gift today. Too many people say, I'm going to accept him tomorrow. I'm going to give him a try tomorrow. But tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know whether he'll return today or tomorrow or next week or next month. You don't know whether your life might end just like that. Someone died when they were 10. Someone died in their 20s and 30s. Someone lived to 90s and they forget about it. No matter what your age, God is still calling to you. And we are to walk in his ways. And someone asked, are you afraid of God? Why would I be afraid of God if I know that I am a child of God? You can declare it. I am a child of God. Type, I am a child of God. And when you know your identity, that you are a child of God, and he's your heavenly father, then you know that you have direct access to him. You know that he has good and great blessings for you. And you know that he loves you and cares for you. That's why I don't have to be afraid of him. That's why I can live a life of loving him. We are not robots. We are not robots. We're not just like creatures just doing things because we're just creatures. No, God has given us free will to choose. And because we are children of God, you are my brother. You are my sister in Christ. We are family. We are sons and daughters of Jesus. We are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And not only that, our Heavenly Father is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. He is all powerful, all glory, all honor. He's all things that we can ever imagine, beyond, above and beyond. And because he's the King, that makes you prince and princesses. That makes you royalty. And we carry our life like royalty because we know we are royalty. For we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are ambassadors of God. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Jeanette Soshmu. Praise the Lord. Revelation says, the death and hell delivered up the dead in them. And they are judged in every good work, according to their works. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever has not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Your name is written in the book of life. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is known to our Heavenly Father. Your name is precious. And that's why we recognize you, we love you, and we walk in God's ways because his name is above every other name. And one day every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is God above all. Amen? Wow. Glory to God. I know this is impactful, and we give praise to God. And if this is helpful for you, throw that thumbs up and we can pray. Lord God, we thank you. We love you. We give you all glory. Lord, there is no one like you. So we come before you humbled. We come before you and say, you are our Lord, our Savior. And there is no one like you. No one like our God. For he is the God above the heavens, the earth. He's the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. So, Lord, we follow you, for you are our creator, and we are your creation. And we know that you have good plans for each and every one of us. And, Father God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that you bring provision, protection, you bring healing into their life, that you grant unto them the wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, as they continue walking in your ways, so that they would represent you and be your children. And second prayer, for those who want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. Lord God, I believe you died on the cross, rose from the dead, and you defeated sin and death. You are victorious, and you have forgiven me of my sin. So, Lord Jesus, come into my life as I commit my life to you 100%, as I commit to following you and walking in your ways. Father, I can't get enough of you. So, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us, me, and I commit to reading your word, to praying to you, and to building your community. In Jesus' most holy name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Let's see your response. And thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for tuning in to the devotion as I continue praying and just like reading the word of God. I pray that you are blessed. And thank you for the thumbs up and also the like and the subscribe and the follow. And, you know, Pastor Josh is really happy you're here. And it's a joy. It's a joy that you are here. God is blessing you, Jeanette. God is blessing you, Fabian. God is blessing you, little Mary and Tyler. God is blessing you and watching over you, Ken and Shoshmu. God is with you, Billy and Shawana Gates and Rex and Avery. He is with you and he loves you. And even though you're 7 years old, he loves you so much. Amen. And so we're going to go through some passages, some response, like application, 4 questions today, and talk about maybe some testimony. And I'll answer any questions you have. I'll pray for you, and then I'll lift you up to God so that we can be walking on this journey together. Amen. So, it says, I approve of him. I love God, and I have been a Christian since 7 years old. Amen, Avery. God bless you. Shawana said, don't wait. This is true. We must apply Jesus to our life today. For Jesus is our King forever. So Jesus forever. Jesus first forever. Amen. Yes, I'm a child of God. Number one question, application. When have you seen God's justice in this world? Hello, Lila. When have you seen God's justice in this world? Well, you see, when the United States of America was founded, 13 colonies, well, they were being oppressed by the Britons. And then they actually were Puritans. They were Christians. They were people who followed God and were devout. And then the Declaration of Independence was written. And then the country was actually founded upon Christian principles. And lo and behold, the country flourished. The country was successful. The country grew to 50 states and then became just such a prosperous country. But then that was because God was in the government. God was in the school system. They were pledging the Pledge of Allegiance and saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For the Republic, for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. We are under God. But then, the problem is, they started taking God out of the school system. No more pledge. They started taking God out of the state system, out of the country system, out of the nation system. And what can we see? The hand of God, judgment is coming. So that's how I've seen it in the world. How God was with the Israelites, with David, with King Solomon, when they worshiped the Lord, and they enforced policies and encourage people to follow after him. I see that God allows a business that is founded upon his principles to flourish, to thrive. I've seen God thrive in my life, build me up as I followed him. When I was far from him, that was my biggest downfall. But when I was rooted in his ways, then that was when he lifted me up. Amen? Amen. So, that is so good. So, when have you seen God's justice in the world? I see it throughout history. Amen? Throughout the Great Awakenings, God is in control. Number two, how does this affect your attitude towards your own sins? You see, today I have received the message of God that we must love what God loves. We must hate what God hates. And in my heart, I'm a very indifferent person. But I just live my life, go with the flow, back then at least. But now, I love to save more souls. And that's the essence, the purpose of this live stream, to plant the seeds of the gospel, to save more souls so people can say yes to Jesus forever. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, how does this affect your attitude towards your own sin? Man, I must repent for my sin, from my laziness, from the things that are distracting me from God's will, from God's presence, from God's blessings. I must be renewed and strive for holiness. The master key to unlocking these spiritual blessings of the Lord is to live a righteous life, a holy life in Christ. Amen? So, our attitude towards sin is that we must hate sin. We must hate the things that are going against God. We must hate the things that pull people farther away from him. Not just be, it's just there. It just exists. Not just tolerate with it. It's like, it's okay. No, we must reject it and say no to it. We must flee from it. We must delete it. Amen. Amen. Haha. Whew, God is so good. I love it. And then, number three, what prevents you from humbly seeking repentance from God, before God? Now, these questions can also be for you. What prevents you from humbly seeking repentance before God? Well, you see, sometimes there's withdrawals when you give up something that is valuable to you. Sometimes you would feel that physical withdrawal, but you got to know that in the long run, it's much better for you in order to cut it out. Cut out the things that are holding you back from growing in Christ. So what prevents me? Well, sometimes I just want a game. I just want to hang out. I just want to binge watch. I had to cut that out for a period of time. And of course, like, a lot of distractions out there. Sometimes you just want to go back and experience your old experiences. But no, why would you do that if you can experience something greater in him, the future in him, when you know the greater things are yet to come? Amen? So, there were many things preventing me. The stronghold of evil, of sin, were preventing me before. And I had to cut them out one by one. I had to write it down and say, in Jesus' name, may I stop it. And if I don't, that's repenting. But you got to get it in your mind and do it every day until you totally eradicate that habit, that action, that thought. Totally eradicate it so that you may be set free from those things. Amen. Number four, what can help you remember God's forgiveness and grace? What can help you remember God's forgiveness and grace? Number one, I do pray continually. about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. It says, rejoice always. Woohoo! God is great. God is amazing. I love him because I can rejoice, for I have life in him. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Pray. And number 3, give thanks in all circumstances. Have a heart of gratitude, heart of thankfulness, thanking God for all that he's done for us. Heart of gratitude. For this is God's will for you in Christ. So memorize, meditate on his word day and night. Speak it. Live it out. Speak it with other people. I'm speaking it with you guys. So by God's grace, we are here. Amen. You can ask a question if you like. I would love to hear your questions. It's open to questions, guys. So, what can help you remember God's forgiveness and grace? You write it down on post-its. Write it down. Memorize it. Remember it. Remember what God done in your life. Amen. Amen. Wow. What a great session, guys. We know that God is at work and he never lets us down. We know that he's got good plans for you, for me, and that there's no doubt that he's going to continue working even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it. God is working. Amen. Hey, well, one person said, I am disturbed. Yeah, I can pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for this young one who is disturbed. Name is Romanian Maniac. Lord God, I pray that you would be with Romanian Maniac, that you allow him to experience more of you, that you would give him peace within his heart, that you would be the peace that resonates in the heart, that there would be peace within himself, within his family, within his community, within his school, his country. Lord God, you are a peacemaker, peacekeeper. So Father God, I pray that peace would be upon him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. So my friend has a satanic background, but he doesn't know it's bad. Well, hello, Brooklyn. Well, you have to continue praying for him. You gotta have a Jesus background, right? A Jesus background. You are light of the world. And you pray, because the devil cannot overcome the power of Jesus. You invite him to church. Invite him to a community that loves God. You don't have to do it alone. Pray for him. Pray. Do it with the Holy Spirit. He's your friend. You are there. And you're there to point him towards the direction of the right way. Now, Jesus did not come to condemn, but come to save the sick, the broken, the lost. And so, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of him, he is able to deliver your friend. Lord God, I pray that you would deliver people out of the new spiritual experiences that is so temporary, that does not bring them eternal joy. Lord, I pray that you would deliver them from evil, deliver them from Satan, the devil, and deliver them into your presence so that they can experience more and more of you. Father God, there is no one like you. And we thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Rex Knight says, how long have you been a pastor? Whew. I've been a pastor for 3 years. This is my 3rd year in this church. And then I've been on YouTube, pastor, for 6 months or half a year. And then I've been on TikTok for 1.5 years. So a total is, no, just kidding. So 3 years is how long I've been a pastor. Amen? Amen. May God bless you guys. And may he be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good one. Be blessed. I'll join me in next sessions. I'll see you next time. Pastor Josh Pan. Out. Amen. Glory to God. He's good. Ah. Yeah, that's good. Thank you guys for joining me. Jeanette, thank you so much. And may God bless you. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Well done. Well done. Keep up the good fight. We try to do this as long as we can. I know if I get sick, I might have to talk with a croaking voice, but you get to hear everything. Haha. But who knows? Who knows? And Baby Pan, you're going to hear that crying. More crying on my stream next month. So I'm doing all I can. Giving it all I got. Amen. Amen. Take care, guys. Woohoo. Pan Josh. Panda out. I'm trying to think. It's like someone said, Mickey out. I'm like, Panda out. How do you like that? That's a good one, right? Just got to be creative. Got to be creative. Amen.